It's our birthday. We can lick our brushes if we want to. It's also the 100th episode of the podcast known as...
Trapped Under Plastic. The podcast featuring short shorts that make YouTube shorts look long.
Welcome one and all to the celebratory 100th episode of Trapped Under Plastic.
We gotta do jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
These are our 100 episode outfits, which... If you're listening, you're welcome. Because we look like we should join a barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
And I also kind of feel like the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase of the World Wrestling Federation from the 1980s.
That is a reference that went over not only my head, but also my top hat.
Yes. Which is extra tall, which is hard to do.
That's the thing. If you're an audio viewer today, you made the right choice. But if you're a video viewer, or if you are an audio viewer and you're still curious, we're wearing red sequins jackets right now. And John, for some reason, has two black top hats for us to wear. And we have some bow ties as well to match.
Yeah, you never know. Fresh. You never know when you're going to need some weird top hats in your closet.
Yeah.
For days like this.
Yeah, yeah. And the clothes we're wearing isn't the only special thing we're doing today. Later in the episode, in replacing the main topic of the episode, we're going to do a Jeopardy-style game with awesome hobby trivia. But the rest of the episode will remain the same format. So let's get into it.
Let's
with the preamble.
Preamble, preamble, preamble.
What you got for us today,
okay,
honey boy?
All right. So I got a couple of things here. So yesterday I had a full day, tattoo session. So I was there from 10 a.m. to about 4:45. And you can't see it because I'm wearing this sweet sequins coat, but it's the start of my sleeve in my right arm. And, it was a really good time. There's a couple things I wanted to bring up about it. And, the first one is, I'm going to straight out say it.
Uh-oh.
I had the best sandwich of my life yesterday.
At a tattoo parlor.
Yeah. Now, the sandwich wasn't from the tattoo parlor.
Okay, okay.
But my tattoo artist, who's a fucking awesome dude, and the other story is about him as well. His name is Suki from Red Lotus Tattoo in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And he's like, "You like Vietnamese food?" And I'm like, "Psh. Does pigs like shit?" I don't know if they do or not, actually. But yes, I love Vietnamese food. And he's like, "You want to have the best Vietnamese food you've ever had in your life?" I'm like, "Okay, bud." And he's like, "There's a place. It's right nearby." He's like, "I'm going to get you the barbecue pork banh mi sandwich."
Banh mi, yes.
And it's going to change your life. I'm like, "Dude, I fucking love banh mi. I'm all for this." So he orders us a couple banh mi sandwiches. They show up, we get a nice little break right around lunchtime, and we just stand there. I stood and ate that sandwich.
That's how you know it's good, dude.
I was like, let me tell you why it was so amazing. At the very beginning, the roll that was in it, was fresh made, fucking phenomenal, with that nice little crust, but with chewy and airy. It had all the great textures, all the great flavors of really good bread. So if the bread is amazing from the beginning, you're like, fuck, we're on this now. Just loaded with this amazing Vietnamese beef in there, and this cucumber with a little bit of a creamy sauce in there, just enough, not overwhelming. They didn't slather it, and all those fresh diced veggies on top.
Yeah,
with
the
fresh
cilantro, daikon,
jalapeno.
Yeah, dude.
Just a nice, just matchstick thin.
Mm.
Oh, baby. I'm telling you, Pho 126 is the name of the restaurant.
Okay, okay.
Coon Rapids, Minnesota.
Okay.
We're going to fucking do a road trip. I would eat everything on their menu if everything is half as good as that.
That sounds amazing. That's an amazing recommendation. I will try it out for sure.
Okay. The other thing real quick is... In the course of getting to know Suki and him getting to know me throughout our many hours together yesterday, well, the first session of many to get the sleeve done.
How many hours was that first sesh?
So 10 a.m. to 4:30, so 6.5 hours.
Oh, God damn.
Yeah. But he's a fucking champ, and he has he's got an iPad right there and like a little stand, and it's almost like a little mic stand that you can move around or whatever. And he had every fucking, he's like, I buy new movies, all the new movies every week. And he puts them on his iPad, and so I sit there and watch movies the whole time.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because he gets in his zone. He puts his earbuds in. He's kind of like singing to 90s gangster rap while he's... Dude, this dude's got fucking stories. This dude's life is wild. I love
this. This guy gives you a tablet to watch movies on like you're a fucking toddler.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's got like...
Oh, no, my hat.
It's got like the... It didn't have the big foamy like protection case around it, but how great would it be? Yeah, so I watched Renfield, bro.
Oh, did you?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it either.
Oh, dude, you must watch it. It is fucking awesome.
I'm not like the hugest Nick Cage fan, which is not to say I don't like him. I like him, but like I haven't seen a ton of his movies. Does the movie rely on the Nick Cage factor?
He would be nominated for supporting actor, not lead actor.
Oh wow,
Renfield is his thrall.
And who is that? Who is that played by?
It's the guy that is in About a Boy, but that's sure. That's a deep cut when he was a kid. Okay. He's in a bunch of stuff recently. He's really good. I can't remember what the fuck else he's in. But anyway, okay, he's really, really good. Yeah, it's a great movie. But anyway, I learned, because Kasuki is 50 years old.
Okay.
I learned that at the age of 17, at the Rosedale Mall, he learned how to airbrush to be a t-shirt airbrush.
He learned how to do it at the mall?
Yeah, because there was a dude with the stand at the mall that doing airbrushes, and airbrush t-shirts, I guess. He was a little kid, or I don't know, he was 15, 16 years old, he said. I don't remember. But he came back every day in the summer and just watched the guy work and watched him. And eventually the guy's like, you want to try it and you want to learn? And he became like this weird apprentice. And for 20 years... Suki, either as a full-time gig or as like a part-time gig, did all the, like, airbrushing t-shirts. He does airbrush 2D work. He showed me some of his shit. I was just like, fuck, the dude has got chops.
Nice, bro.
He's like, I'd make 15 grand in a week at the state fair. He had his
what?
Yeah,
those stupid fucking shirts, dude?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and he used to travel all around too to go to different fairs and different stuff, and that was like, you know, all he's like, I could work 4 months out of the year, and then I was doing t-shirts, and then I would pay for the whole winter.
Dude, that's awesome. And what's super cool about the t-shirt medium for airbrushes is it's absorbent, unlike miniatures, so you can really blast a t-shirt and like not have any spider webbing. Yeah. And so like I was talking to the owner of Badger about that, and he was like, you know, guys who do art on t-shirts have zero dry tip problem, because it is blast straight through it at like 80, 60 PSI or whatever it is, because it doesn't matter. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, so anyway, I didn't dig deep into that, but what it kind of like planted a seed in my head. So as I'm going
to want to go to the mall and apprentice a t-shirt master.
Yeah, dude, this is it. I want Suki to be like my sensei, okay. My airbrush sensei.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so because I was trying to think of like kind of questions, and maybe the Goody Peepees can help come up with questions. If there's somebody that was an airbrush, like ancient master, like what kinds of questions would you have for them? And the thing that I thought about on my drive home, so I'm going to hit him with a bunch of these things. So put your questions that you want me to give to Suki in the comments. One was about, well, dry tip in dealing with clogs and stuff. Like, is that a thing? Is there a thing that you do that prevented that? Especially when he's working on working on canvas on paper and stuff, it's probably more akin to us. And then changing out of colors. When he's doing shit like those t-shirts and stuff, and it's, you know, you got to knock those shits out fast if you're going to make money.
Yeah,
you're using 3-4 colors on there. What's your quick swap out? Do you have 4 different airbrushes? Do you have an airbrush for every color? That maybe is the answer. That's how I hope that's not the answer, because that's, you know what I'm saying? Like that, maybe there's just like this 10-second whoosh, whoosh, whoosh technique. There's a special liquid you put in there, and then it just goes like, whoa, it's clean. Like, I don't know. I want to know the answers to these things.
Probably uses siphon-fed airbrushes and takes the container out.
Fuck yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know. I've never seen anyone do that. I'm just totally guessing, but I'm guessing with the quantity of paint he probably needs to paint a shirt, he probably uses siphon-fed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
hey, look, I'm just gonna keep. It's like a mining in World of Warcraft. I'm just gonna keep hitting that with the pickaxe. I'm gonna keep hitting him with that pickaxe, and then sooner or later, he's gonna pop out some gems, and he didn't even know they're gems.
Fucking, you know what I'm saying? Diamond, bro.
Yeah, he's gonna shine like a diamond.
Shine bright like a diamond.
So yeah, that's some of my. Those are the stories that I can tell from yesterday, and not get in trouble with the authorities on. So,
oh, whoa. Okay. All right. For my preamble ramble, I need to quickly get a book. People will take a sure gain over a gamble. People will gamble to avoid a sure loss. That's what it is. So if you know you're going to lose $20, you will take a 30% chance to lose $0, but a 70% chance to lose $40, if that makes sense. But when it comes to a sure gain over a gamble, it's like, I'm going to give you $20, but there is a 40% chance you can gain $40. A 60% chance you can gain $40, but a 40% chance you will gain $0. Do you take it? And the answer is no. I'm going to take the 20%. I'm going to take the sure $20. And that's a really interesting concept about push your luck in games that could be applied to various mechanics and choices in the game. Because it's interesting to really kind of challenge human psychology and what we want to do naturally. Because often it is good to take those risks from a purely mathematical and estimated value perspective.
So what you're saying is, in building in your game design and your rule structure, if you understand these psychological ways that people get those good feelings or things that they're more likely to do, and you lean into them and in the way that people kind of naturally lean, then it makes the game in the moment more fun or enjoyable.
See, that's a great question. The question you're asking right now is, how do I take this knowledge and apply it to an actual game?
Right.
And so the question is, do you want to have a game that includes this idea of like risk management that is like the opposite of how humans want to act? It's like, this is a good thing for you, but you are biologically leaning away from this choice for whatever reason. Or should you have games that encourage the choice that's more natural? I don't know what the answer is. It's just kind of a cool idea that I've definitely experienced in some games. There's this game where you are composing heraldry for like your fake family in a game, and you're putting all these icons on your shield, and you can take this thing called a splat and put it on one zone, so you can briefly break the rules of heraldry to gain points and then hopefully get rid of that splat later on. But if you have it at the end of the game, you like gain some absurd amount of points, which and you don't want points in this game. It's like golf.
Sure.
And so it's like, that's an example of like, I'm going to take this immediate gain to hopefully avoid this huge detriment at the end, which is kind of like a loss. It's like a risk. But yeah, it's a cool thing. I've noted it in other games before, and I kind of just wrote it down just to kind of like be like, okay, that's a cool idea. Maybe I should incorporate some kind of risk loss aversion idea.
I like that. So, okay. So when we think about games like miniature war games that we play, you're naturally going to have there's a number of what you'd put in quotations as small victories and small losses. That could be loss. Could be victories, could be like gaining points for on objective points, right? You know, getting one of those is a small victory because you need to get a number of those to get more than your opponent to win.
Yeah.
Okay. An example of a small loss would be you ran into my unit of skeletons. Maybe you killed 6 of the skeletons of the 10 in the unit, or maybe you wiped out the whole small unit. Okay. So those are like static things that are going to happen, can happen throughout the game. What if you built in a way that wouldn't be overly convoluted and take up a ton of extra time? So you'd have to be a kind of a quick streamlined system. What if you allowed gambling after you have earned the thing? Okay, so let's take the negative example. Let's say in Age of Sigmar, they have something called the, was it morale check? No, that's 40K.
Bravery.
Yeah. So if I have a unit of 10 skeletons and you, in one combat, you kill 6 of them, at the end of the turn, we have to roll their bravery. They have a bravery number. You roll a 2d6, 1d6.
You roll a d6 and add the number of casualties. And if you're over your bravery, you lose that many in the difference.
You lose difference. Yeah. So basically, if you lose a whole bunch of dudes, but the unit's not wiped out, there's a chance that more will run away because they're scared of the massive, you know, damage that they took. Mm-hmm. What if that system wasn't there, but instead my 6 out of my 10 skeletons died? Okay. That is the fact that was what will happen. Instead, the bravery phase gave me an option. I can test my luck. I can choose to roll whatever the numbers would add up to be. I could choose to do a roll. If I succeed at the roll, maybe half of the skeletons that died actually came back. They were wounded and their friends picked them up and they continued in the fight. Mm-hmm. That's if I succeeded. If I failed, X number more actually run away.
Yeah, or like the whole unit dies.
Or the whole unit dies.
It's like I pass Braver check, no one dies. If I fail it, everyone dies. If I don't roll it, then just the difference dies. Yes.
Then you have your static, you take your small loss. Mm-hmm. That's a guarantee. It's your
guarantee,
20.
Guarantee, yeah.
Yeah, he's the, I've already lost these $20. What do I want to do with it?
Yeah.
So why, and you'd have a same kind of a system in the on the positive side too.
Sure.
So why I think that would be really interesting is it allows some rubber banding if you're falling too far behind or you've got enough of a lead and you're like, I'm going to push my fucking pedal to the metal. If I get lucky on a couple of these chance things, I've put the game out of reach.
Yeah.
If I fail, maybe I've tightened it back up and now they're within striking distance. Vice versa, if I'm behind and I'm going to test my luck, look, I need to push this up. I need to work my way back in the game. But it's always that question of, do I go with the guarantee? Mm-hmm. Do I go with the risk? And that's another decision point in the game based on, and it brings in skill and people's understanding of things. When do you do that and when do you not do that?
Absolutely. And so, I think with your specific example, if the likelihood was leaning toward, I would probably not like lose my entire unit, like I would lose nothing, most humans would take that option. Depending on the severity of the outcome. But they'll take the chance to have no loss over losing a sure gain. And so in this case, there is a guaranteed loss. It's however many dudes you lost your bravery by. But if there's like a 60% chance that you can lose no one, 65, most people would take that that risk.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough. But yes, that is a great example in AOS world. Here's another brief little aside. What if in every single phase of Age of Sigmar, you rolled priority? In the movement phase, hero phase, wizard phase, charging phase, combat phase.
I think that would be awesome. I think the reason they don't is just sheer amount of extra time you're adding to the game, extra dice rolls and stuff like that. But I mean... I say awesome not having sat and let everything absorb and thinking about
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah. I don't know if it's a good thing, but like someone recently commented on my old Age of Sigmar criticism video, and like they didn't understand like why I called like the priority role having so much weight. And so then I was like, what if you took that role and you just divided it up amongst all the phases in the game? Like, can you feel how that singular role becomes less important once we've divided it amongst the portions of a typical game? But then I kind of sat there and started thinking about it. I was like, would that make the game better or worse? Like, I don't actually know, but I thought I'd just kind of throw it out there.
Yeah, it's good to throw out ideas when you're doing all this reading on fucking game design.
Fucking reading, but...
Gamer.
All right, on to what we've painted, unless you have more to say.
No, I don't. Let's dig into it. What I saw your video. You just got a new video this week about his...
video.
About his space... Sand dwarfs.
Space. I mean elves.
Sand dwarfs.
Not dwarfs, elves. Yeah, and we made a little editorial error last episode. You actually saw the painted photos of these models before the video came out. you hadn't even seen that. You had just seen the like the conversions of like the legs and shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, now the models are done. If you haven't seen the video, we'll have it linked down in the description. But yeah, I'm very happy with this like kind of khaki.
I want to see shiny
black. Shiny face, boy. Yeah, I love that chrome dome, man. A little bit of yellow accents, some teal accents. I just watched Top Gun Maverick, and it has me. And I've been fiending to paint a vehicle lately, and I've always loved the Razorwing jet fighter because it looks like a fucking weapon. Like yeah, the whole vehicle is a goddamn weapon.
Yeah, someone breaks in your house. I think we may have made this joke before.
Yeah, you could sling that thing like a frisbee, dude, and take a goddamn arm off,
just right into the jugular.
But it looks so cool, and I wanna make a. Not a diorama necessarily, but I want to pose that thing not on a flight stand, but in such a way that really makes you feel the velocity of what that thing looks like it should be capable of. And so I'm really excited to give that a shot with that new scheme. I want to do a bunch of fun things with that cool spaceship.
I can see the reflection of my gaudy ass red jacket in this dude's helmet. Like, in terms of a size of a mini, like a large spherical shape that is painted entirely chrome. It reflects so many things in fun, bouncy ways.
Yeah. I was thinking of hitting that with some kind of Tamiya clear, but I don't think I have the color that I'd want to use. They have this one called Smoke, which is like kind of like a dark black gray, but it's still obviously incredibly glossy. That might be kind of cool with the khaki and black scheme to have kind of like a smoked visor that's also really chromey and glossy.
I mean, maybe that would look cool, but I think because you have a black line around it that differentiates the yellow from the actual chrome, so there's nice differentiation of the shapes there.
Yeah.
And then it's just stark chrome. Like, I think it just works because it bounces the dark colors coming from below and a little bit of the yellow that's picking up. Like, it just shows so many colors.
Yeah, yeah.
I really dig it.
Thank you.
I think it works. I think just not touching it.
Yeah. The one thing I never know what to do with Cabalite Warriors is how to paint their fucking splinter rifles. I don't know what to do. This time I tried painting the whole gun metallic, and then I wash it all in Grim Black, which is like a black contrast paint. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, kind of like did some like stippling, and then I put some like dust in like the nooks and crannies. But like, I don't know what to do with that thing. It never looks good. I never painted a good splinter rifle in my life.
They're an odd shape.
They kind of are.
They have this weird combination of like tubes. They're slightly tubular, but they're also fairly blocky and rectangular. So it's kind of a weird combo. And sometimes the shape turns from one to the other, from a tube to a rectangle. And it just makes it odd. I almost think just like really basic dark color, and then just do a defined edge highlight to just show all those shapes is probably all you can do. When I did one of these guys too for a video, I did one from that.
The Corsair box.
Corsair one.
Yeah.
I had struggled with it too. Also, you could end up painting this thing because there's enough little different things on it. You could make it like four or five different colors. And then it's just like, it's too fucking much. I don't want it to be like
that. It is too much. I painted like the oval egg-shaped thing pure silver.
Yeah, I like
that. There's a little bit of a breakup of the details. I also painted this normal Cabalite Warrior. I painted the lenses of his eyes with that Maltau chrome, just to kind of continue that chromey detail. But it wasn't, it doesn't obviously read as well as a full face mask.
Yeah, I mean, it's still cool. Like, I still pick out the little glint.
Yeah, there, yeah.
So there's a nice aspect for that. But yeah, I think it's finding ways to repeat that chrome because it's so striking across the different models. I would do like one of these knee pads because it's a nice big shape. You know, it's a nice big.
Oh, the chrome on that.
Yeah, just one knee pad. So each model would have like one nice big spherically shaped piece that's on that model be that chrome.
Yeah, okay.
That's
fun.
And it works really well with the other silvers that are more dull and have more definition with dark stuff and the black lining.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool.
The next kind of conversion I want to do is, like, you know how sometimes people can like kind of rest their hands on top of their guns?
Yeah.
I want to have a Cabalite Warrior with a slung gun where he's kind of like has one hand down that's holding a dagger and has his other hand kind of on top of his splinter rifle. But it's kind of like more of like a casual pose.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. But I think the hard part is finding the right hand because I'm not going to sculpt a tiny hand. I'm no good at that.
Tiny hands.
But yeah, I want to give that a shot.
I wonder, I seem to think that there is might be one of the Gaunt's Ghost guys.
Oh, does he have that?
He's got that pose.
Oh.
Because that's a very... That's almost like a real world military kind of thing you see, and you see it in military movies and stuff when, you know, yeah, it is kind of like at ease kind of
yeah, just pose. Like relaxed pose, yeah.
And it's very cool. That's a reason they use it a lot in movies.
Yeah.
You look like a badass.
Yeah.
So all right, so I painted one thing.
You painted one very large thing.
And please pick her up by the base. So she is. You see her tiny little fucking legs. It's Gorilla super glued gel on like four different legs. That is all that she's attached by. Now, her back, so the rear left leg is attached there. So that was all part of the model that like she's like standing on some tactical rock thing that when I put her on the base and then I had to color match it kind of to the terrain, And so there, that one's got a little bit more gumption because that one has got a good bit of super glue underneath that. And then I put texture paste around it. And
is there like a pin there?
It's supposed to be like rebar and stuff that's coming up out of the ground. It's more of a urban terrain is the little terrain bits that are put on that version of the kit. And so I just kind of like, you know, made it not look like it's supposed to be there.
Okay.
Because she's in a cave. So I painted up the Tyranid for the big one that I kit bashed. And I asked people in the video comments, like, you know, would you like to see this be a two-part series where I built it in one video and then painted in the other? And I had a lot of comments, a lot of positive reaction to doing that, which usually people, if they like your stuff and you ask them if you want to do this kind of thing, and people will say yes, which is cool. But half the reason I painted it, especially so soon after when I originally built it, was that, just getting the positive affirmation. And the other half was I was actually kind of pumped to do it. And so one thing I mentioned early in the video was that if you're excited to do a thing, especially if it's a little bit weightier of a project or a weightier of a model, if you're excited and you have momentum to do it then. Because if you lose it, you don't know when you'll get it back or if you'll get it back.
That's called the muse, man.
Yeah.
I have this excellent idea for this Razor Wing Jet Fighter, and I really want to do that video right now, but I know it's going to take a long time.
Let's fucking go to the source, dude.
Oh, I got a fucking airplane. I'm ready to rock.
Oh, you got a hairpane?
I got one, dude.
All right. So this thing, and that thing, this thing for the actual bug was not airbrushed at all other than the base kind of off-white for the skin. Everything else was by brush. And do I regret it? It caused some of the big, I had some big fucking problems with this paint job. And the video ends up being about, you're going to fuck up. You're going to make mistakes.
Especially on a big model like this, right? Like, you don't get a lot of chances to practice painting something this big.
No. And the scheme is like, I had a really, you know, a fairly clear picture in my head of how I wanted the skin to look. I had no idea what to do with the care paste. I was just going to kind of go by what felt good and what came with me and doing some online research of bugs. And if you make a mistake, and sometimes it's not even a mistake. It's not like you made a technical error or anything. Something just didn't turn out.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out the way you wanted. It doesn't look as good, or something reacted differently. Something that worked well on the smaller models that I've done more of the new Sculpt Tyranid smaller models lately that I've shown. Similar techniques or the same technique just did not scale. It did not scale to the same kind of shapes, the same kind of detail, the same kind of forms. Did not scale when you multiplied it times 20, when you made it 20 times bigger. It just didn't work. And so when those things happen, they're going to happen, and you are going to have to say to yourself, well, what do I do? Do I try to unfuck it, or do I start over again? And
what do you do? How break it down percentage-wise. How often do you work with it versus redo it?
I work with rework it or work with it 100% of the time.
Okay, a painting over it does not count as working with it. I'm not talking about
No, no,
100% of the time.
Yes.
Okay.
The reason why is I feel, and maybe this is just in my own trying to keep like my own ego, you know, in check, or me trying to learn. And I think that's a big part of it, is that if you can work out of the holes you've dug yourself into, you end up learning or taking away or realizing something so much more than just starting over from scratch and trying to find a better path of least resistance. Because you're always going to find resistance. And if you can build up some confidence in your painting that you can work your way out of it, and maybe the final piece is still like, I still look at this and there's parts of it and there's aspects of it that I really are due to the fact that the initial fuck up I did not like. I learned the way I would do it differently next time. And I learned how better in practice, in putting in hours, in fixing things that I didn't like. And the more you do that, the less fear you have of screwing up, because you know you can work your way out of it. And that's kind of the moral of the story.
Yeah. I think what you said is accurate, but I don't think the other alternative is as less of a good option as you make it out to be. So like you said that you would know what you would do next time. And I would argue that you don't exactly know what you would do next time. You have an idea of a different approach, but like the alternative could be to repaint it and try something new. And at that point, you have learned something. You've learned that whatever you tried to do didn't work. And you can restart and try something new and then learn that that thing either does or doesn't work as well. I think both are valid approaches to solving a problem. But I think that the path that you took is the path that hobbyists, myself included, most often take. So like your breakdown was 100%. You always work with a fuck up. I'm probably 85% of the time I work with a fuck up. If it's like a big problem, like
it's going to be way too much work, way too much time. I can see what I put in front of myself.
Exactly. Then I don't fuck with that shit.
I don't think that's a bad decision.
Yeah. But most of the time though, I do what you would do.
Yeah. Also too, the other reason why I want to work through it is because I am not seeing the end result yet either. Like you're step two, like here was fucking step two. I fucked up.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
It's like, I don't know how much this final fuck up is actually going to affect the final product. Or I have to deal with a level of the thing that I don't like and work through that because the final end result will have been worth having to deal with that pain. I don't know yet that answer until I've completed that whole section, that whole model, that whole whatever, to then I go back and review and say to myself, okay, knowing the whole process now, what have I learned and what would I do differently?
Yeah.
So one final thing I want to talk to you about, Motherbug is, she's a mother bugger. Look at the smoke stuff on that's coming out there.
I didn't look at what your extended episode topic was, Big Mother. Okay, no. But I wanted to ask about the smoke. And that was one question I had, was the red in the smoke specifically. Is that red oil paint?
No.
Is that red enamel paint?
Maybe.
What is it?
I think I already talked about the thing that I was going to share in the after party.
I don't think you really did.
What? Let me see.
Yours is Big Model without an airbrush. That's the...
Okay. I think something new I tried in getting more depth into it has to deal with this smoke. So this is what I'm going to talk about in the after party for our patrons. So if you want to know that...
give us your fucking money, punk.
What, you think these sequin coats are free? Yeah, so I'm going to talk about that because I'm fucking hyped. In fact, I forgot to bring it, but I have gifts for you that have to deal with this.
You have the gifts for them or for me?
For you.
Okay, yeah. For you, goody peepees. These are my gifts.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds good. Sounds good. Before we get into the game for this week's episode, let's hear a briefer from this video's sponsor, Frontier Wargaming, showing off their paint stations.
This veritable hobby command center is made out of stained, laser-cut, 5mm thick plywood and is fully modular. Whether you need new stands or wall-mounted options, this setup has both. Store tube paints, standard paint pots from the majority of manufacturers in our space, holders for models, or more generic options for any kind of tool or material storage. This range is quite comprehensive. Some of the other more portable boxes even have magnetic storage for aerosol cans and generic trays for models. With all these options, it's important that Frontier Wargaming makes them all visible and easy to configure, and I'm happy to say that their online configurator does just that. Swap out parts from any of their various units and see in real time what they look like so you know what you're getting. That kind of convenience is a little bit unprecedented in our hobby space, so good on Frontier Wargaming for making it easy for us. Aside from their more permanent setups, they also make a variety of portable options as well, which I've personally used when traveling for vacation or conventions. If you don't have a space in your home for this big, bad paint station and you find yourself setting up your paint station each time when you want a hobby, their paint case is not a bad option. I also appreciate how they kept the size of their various storage options standardized so you can hot swap them to your heart's content.
In addition to all this stuff, new to Frontier Wargaming are the completely customizable portable and tabletop stations. They offer different materials, colors, custom painted designs, laser engraved designs, customizable storage options, and more. You can find links to all this stuff in the description below. Thank you to Frontier Wargaming for sponsoring this episode. Now on to the game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we have reached the point in episode 100 of Trapped Under Plastic that nobody's been waiting for, but we're going to do it anyway.
Are you kidding me, dude? Everyone's hyped for this. This is sick, dude.
Okay, we are doing Tupperty.
I love that. We got Alex over on the mic off camera. Say hello, Alex.
Hello.
He is our editor, and he's going to be reading us the questions that we get to pick. This is laid out Jeopardy style, so we'll be asking for a question in a category followed by a dollar amount. If we get the question wrong, we lose the point amount or dollar amount from our totals, and I'll be keeping track of that total while we play.
Yes. So we've got five categories, and then there's 10 questions in each category, ranging in dollar values from $100 up to $1,000. Yes. These are real dollars. These are not John Bucks.
No, real dollars.
Real dollars.
Some huge tendy debt on the line here.
So, Alex, can you give us what our five categories are? Because I don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the five categories are tools. We got miniature makers.
Mm-hmm.
We got pop culture.
Oh, God.
We got nice. GW lore.
Woo! Fuck my life.
And last but not least, we got painters.
Painters.
Okay.
Okay.
Initial reaction, Scott. How are you feeling? Because did you know those categories? I didn't know the categories.
I knew like two of them. I did not know pop culture. I did not know a couple of the first ones that he said as well. So... I'm concerned for pop culture. I think I should beat you in lore. Not because I'm a genius in lore, but I've just been around this shit for longer and probably reading more of the books and stuff.
Dude, I've read like 3.5 books.
Like, I read a lot of codices. That, like, when you buy army books and stuff like that, like I read the lore in that when I was little.
No, it's all garbage.
Yeah, it's all garbage. All right, I am freaking excited. But as I understand it, Alex, you have some test questions for us to kind of... like get us fired up here. So let's start with one of those.
Yeah, so this isn't for real points, right?
This is not for real points. So we will say our names to buzz in, and then we'll be given 5 seconds to come up with an answer. And then if you can't, then the other person can steal.
Mm. I have a test question for miniature makers.
Okay.
What year did GW officially release Warhammer 40,000?
I mean, I know it was Rogue Trader originally. It wasn't Warhammer 40K. So I guess the question is, when did... I mean, I just watched Goob's video yesterday about painting all of the females from all the starter sets, and he went through each one. I don't know. 1985. 1981.
Well, you didn't
Scott.
Buzz in. And also, that was way longer than 5 seconds.
I know. It's a test question. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
1981.
So, Alex, don't be afraid to be mean and just say, eh. If Scott's fucking talking for 4 hours trying to think of the answer.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that for the rest of the...
He also gave me like 3 answers just
now. Yeah. I'm not going to do that for the rest of the
answers. What year did you actually want to choose?
1981.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
1987.
I think it's older.
Yes.
What the fuck, dude?
Fuck.
That counts. Give me a point. All right. So, yeah, we're going to say our names to buzz in. I totally fucked that up. And then you have 5 seconds to answer. If you're wrong, they can steal. Cool. All right. You have another test one to do? Are we into it?
Let's just rip it.
Let's just get into it.
Do you want to go first, Johnny Boy?
Yeah. So since no one has gotten a answer right previously in Jeopardy, like the person on the left gets to go first. So
okay.
Who's on the left?
There you go.
Me?
You. Yeah.
Okay. I will choose tools for 100, Alex.
All right.
It's great because his name is Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Trebek.
It's so perfect.
Alex Trebek?
Yeah. All right. Tools for 100. Buzz it in with a name. Here we go.
All right. Tools for 100. This item is traditionally a non-porous, rigid, flat surface made from wood, ceramic, or plastic. We use ones with damp sponge and wax paper.
Scott. Palette. Wet palette.
Yeah. Palette or wet palette?
What is a wet palette? So I heard wood, and that's why I thought palette, because I was like, wet palettes aren't made out of wood. That's not necessarily
traditionally wet.
Maybe like back in the day.
Non-porous surface. Okay.
Yeah. So I said palette first.
Palette's correct.
And then
it does say palette / wet palette.
Okay. Cool. All right. That's $100 for me. I will take... pop culture, just to figure out what the fuck this is, for 100, please, Alex Trebek.
Pop culture for 100. In this 2005 comedy by Judd Apatow,
oh, shit.
Steve Carell's character claims to have a very fulfilling
John.
Life.
Wait, can you answer? Can you say that before the question's done?
Yeah, you can call it at any time.
Okay, so I think you're guessing what the answer is, but let's go with it. What is it?
40-year-old virgin.
That is correct.
Ah, you stinker, dude. You took a risk.
Right. I thought that maybe there's a connection because he paints miniatures in that movie.
Yeah. I know. I didn't know if the answer was the name of the movie or like his character's name or something like that.
The rest of the question was, and in the following montage is a scene painting miniatures.
Yeah. No, right. I've seen it.
So all the pop culture stuff is related to the hobby.
Of course. All right, John. We're tied at 100.
I love that pop culture miniatures connection. Let's keep going around here. Let's do miniature painters for 100.
All right. This one I'll have to send to you guys.
Okay, so this category, all the questions are images sent to us, and then we have to guess what painter painted them. Is that what all the questions are, Alex, or are there different ones in the category?
Yeah, and I also have multiple choice for you guys.
Okay.
If you need that.
So you're going to post a picture on the screen, and we're going to see it as soon as it comes through. This is going to be a test of who's got better internet connection.
I mean, we're on the same Wi-Fi, and we're like feet from each other, so I hope it's
I'm not on your Wi-Fi.
You aren't?
No. Maybe
Let me just spoil my Wi-Fi password right now, live on air. Scott, what is Maggie Miniatures? That is her Instagram name, not her real name.
Did you want me to give you multiple choice, or are you just going to go for it?
I mean, I know it's Maggie Miniatures for a fact.
It is not.
It is.
That's not what I have here.
Okay.
We just did this one as a miniature you liked. But it was reposted from somebody else. Maybe they have the somebody else that I had it reposted
as. Maybe it's whoever reposted it. That's what he took from it.
Yeah, it's not Oliver Spaeth.
Okay, because that's what I have as an answer.
Yeah, it's Maggie Miniatures, Martha Gespers. I don't know her full name.
Do you get double points for that?
No, he gets no points. He got it wrong. It doesn't matter if the answer was wrong.
So that's an interesting question. For these painters, do we want to have their name, their social media handle, or their real name? Because I never would have known her real name.
I think either one's acceptable.
Either one's acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
All right.
So, Scott, what did you get? 100 points for that?
Hundo points. And can you remind me? Let's do tools. We'll do tools for 100, Alex.
Two. We already did palette. Was one.
Oh, shit. What's the other categories we haven't gone through yet? We did pop culture, we did tools, we did paint. Oh, fuck, yeah. Let's do 100 for GW lore for 100, please.
Oh, God.
It's happening. I hope it's about Space Marines.
GW lore for 100. This 40K faction predates the game, but were so popular that Warhammer 40K was designed around them.
Scott, what is Space Marines?
Correct.
Shit, I was thinking Tyranids because they're in... One of those. I thought they were in the bad guys in that original.
Oh, in Rogue Trader? I think it's Orcs in Space Marines.
Oh, see, I didn't even know it was in the box for my answer to be correct to begin with.
I think, I don't know though. I'm just guessing.
I should have known the answer to the very first question. When we were starting, I was like almost going to ring in right away and just say Space Marines.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of, I kind of wasn't totally sure. I went for it.
I wimped out.
What's the last category we haven't done yet? I forgot the last one.
Miniature makers.
All right, let's do miniature makers for 100. Score is 300 to 100. Very much so still in the realm of comebacks.
All right, miniature makers for 100. In 1983, this British company formed and produced Wargaming first.
John. Reaper miniatures.
No.
No.
What's the full question?
So in 1983, this British company formed Wargaming's first proprietary models.
Scott, what is Games Workshop?
Yes.
Okay.
My brain didn't hear British company, apparently. Fuck me.
Let's do pop culture for 200, please. In Jeopardy, do contestants often like increase incrementally like that, or do they kind of jump around a lot?
Yeah, they jump around. Like if they feel good about a thing, they'll jump up to 500.
Okay. We'll do 200 for pop culture.
All right. In 1998, Enemy of the State, Will Smith, Regina King, and Joshua Washington have a scene on the couch where Joshua can be seen reading this famous war miniature painting magazine.
John.
White Dwarf.
Correct.
Hey!
What is White Dwarf?
I did not know that was an Enemy of the State.
Neither did I.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie, actually.
It's a really good movie.
I've seen Enemy at the Gates, but not Enemy of the State. Yeah.
Tony Scott. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good movie. All right. What's up?
Oh, shit. I got a question.
Right.
Okay. We're going to do tools for 200. Is that still available?
Yep. All right. This essential tool was made with palm leaves by the ancient Egyptians.
What is a paintbrush?
Correct.
Palm leaves. He's coming back, folks. It's tied up at 400. I'm not going to be able to do
so
the match
when he doesn't read the full question.
That's the Jeopardy way, man.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, let's do tools for 300.
Okay.
Okay.
Though this item seems to have disappeared during the classical and medieval period, it was found from as early as 650 AC in Buddhist murals.
Oh.
I feel like this is so obvious.
I'm trying to decide if it's an artistic thing or if it's a game-related thing.
I think our time's up.
Okay, our time is up. What is the answer to that question?
Oil paints.
Oil paints.
Okay.
I was thinking, paints, but I was like, no, not paints.
I think maybe the question should have been more specific in like suggesting like an actual like paint or some kind of medium.
Well, it did say in Buddhist murals.
Yes. I don't know if it was like the subject of the art, like what they are painting in the picture, or if it was like the materials. But I suppose it is the tool category after all.
Yes.
So that's on me. Okay.
All right. Let's do GW lore for 500.
God.
Straight to 500. All right. I'm
Let's just take this Band-Aid off right now.
All right. Who is the oldest living space marine?
Scott.
The Emperor. He's not
you got
a space
a name?
Marine. He's the Emperor of fucking mankind, bro.
No, that's not it.
I'm not answering.
I
would
negative
Rabut Guliman, but that's not an official answer.
I think that's his original baby.
Because Emperor isn't a space marine.
Yeah, but he kind of is.
No, he's not.
There's a bunch of fucking space marine nerds in the comment section right now who
are going
to
fight over this.
Who are just like crushing me right now, like, you fucking idiot. Oh,
minus 500 points tastes so fucking good right
minus
now.
Minus 500 points.
What was the answer?
Lord Commander Dante of the Blood Angels.
Oh!
So it was the first chapter master.
Really? The Blood Angels is the Blood Angel chapter master is the first space marine ever.
He said it
first still alive.
It's written here. He's said to be around 1,500 years old.
Oh, is it still alive as well?
Still alive. He said still alive in the question.
The Emperor is still alive.
Yeah.
I don't know about that question. Okay, we're going on. We're going on.
All right. What was
take it up with James?
miniature. Let's take a real quick second and thank wonderful editor James
and also our patrons.
For helping pull these questions together.
Yeah,
James. Did some, and he asked our patrons for questions. So that's another thing you get for being a patron. You can get involved in things like the shenanigans. All right, let's do miniature makers for 200.
In 1975, this creator of D&D convinced...
John.
Gary Gygax.
Correct.
Oh, my God. See, again, I didn't know if it was going to be like Dungeons & Dragons or if it was going to be... I wouldn't have got that name that fast, though.
I think later on in the question, he probably uses the term Ral Partha because that is the company that he worked with to make the very first D&D minis.
Was that 200?
It's 200 for me. Man, I went from feeling like shit to feeling like I'm worthy of this $1 million man coat right now. Let's go over to a picture one. Let's do miniature artists for 200. And do you want to read any multiple choice first? Or
yeah, why don't you just read off the names of the people first? And then and then send us the picture along. So you can be like, is this photo by?
Okay, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, because there is a question with it. It's not just, here's a photo, who painted it?
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's even better.
Okay. This Cult of Paint co-founder's miniature took silver for...
John. So which one is it, though? I mean, you're making a guess here.
When he said took silver, then I assume that is took silver in a golden demon. So my answer is, Who is Andy Wardle?
I think it's not. I think it's, if I get points for this, I think it's Rogel Dorn. It's a golden marine. It is Andy, and he painted it for Crystal Brush. That's my guess.
Okay, so
it doesn't matter. You still got the right answer, right?
So this happens too. So in Jeopardy, they do the same thing where Alex Trebek reads the question that is either a soundbite, a film clip, or a still picture. And he reads the whole thing first, and then they show it. But if you can buzz in before they do it, you can still answer.
No, I'm not at all upset about that.
I'm never going to get another one like that. So, is it correct?
John is correct.
Yeah! It was one of the two Cult of Paint people, most likely Andy, but I bet it's Rogel Dorn. Send that picture. And I bet it's Crystal Brush. Is it a giant golden space marine?
No, let's have the suspense. The people that are watching on the screen right now can see it.
Yeah, I'll have everything on the screen for them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But we don't know yet.
Yeah.
What we do know is I got the question right.
You did. What was that? How many points was that?
200.
Fuck. I'm getting pwned right now. I like, while he was saying it, when he said Cult of Paint, I immediately thought of Andy. But I was like, what the fuck is Andy's last name?
You couldn't think of Lil Andy Wardle's last
name?
Yeah,
okay. Andy Wardle. I got too much shit in my brain, dude.
Oh, no.
Oh, I was totally wrong. It was not Rogel Dorn.
The one he just did for the latest Golden Demon in the UK.
Son of a bitch. Isn't I was wrong.
And he got silver in that category.
I was wrong on all accounts.
God damn.
Minus 3,000 points for me.
Fucking great. Right. Let's do lore for 400.
Yeah,
I like jumping around.
You're not going to bait me into this one.
I'm not going to bait you ever.
What famous real-time strategy game is rumored to originally been... That was John.
See, what is again. StarCraft?
Correct.
See, that's such bullshit, because it also could be Warcraft.
Yeah!
This is lame, dude.
But you don't know the rest of the question.
Yeah,
that is the...
it was going to be a 40K game.
I know. Yeah, I know.
That's the risk you take, buddy.
You took it, and it paid off. But one of these times, it isn't going to pay off.
Give me 400 points, baby.
I'm waiting to say one word in the question, and Scott will just be like, I got it.
Son of a bitch. All right, here we go.
What's
the next one?
What are we at for? I'm going to do the next up on tools. What's that, 400 or 300?
400.
Let's do tools for four.
This hobby staple is also used in the medical and veterinary fields to bond.
Oh, shit. Okay, I know what it is.
I was going to say something different, and then he got the word bond out. What is super glue?
Yeah, correct.
That's what it is. What was that?
400.
400.
Let's do next on the list with pop culture. That should be 300?
Yes, pop culture for 300. This family-focused actor is said to have introduced Judi Dench to Dungeons & Dragons.
But is also
rumored to have asked the GW store to close so he could play a game with his blood angels.
I know the guy. I can't think of his name, though.
I wasn't actually paying attention to the beginning of the question. So
I don't want to say anything about the person. I don't want to give it away, but I can't remember his name, unfortunately.
Originally I went to somebody, but then he's not British, so I think this person that he's talking about is British, and I don't know who that would be. So I got nothing.
It's the teacher from Dead Poets Society. It's
I was thinking Mr. Robin Flubber. Williams, but
oh. Robin Williams.
But no, it's not.
It's not, because he's not British. Because Dame Judi Dench.
It's British.
He didn't say he was British.
No.
But one, Judy introduced Dench. Dame Judi Dench.
Is British?
And then had to GW store to close to play with his blood angels. He played, Robin Williams played Harlequins and Dark Elves.
Oh, I thought it was Robin Williams for sure. I thought I remember that story about closing a store with Robin Williams.
He didn't play blood angels.
Okay. We don't know what it is. What is it?
It's all about family.
Family
Vinny
guy.
Diesel.
Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel, bro.
What? I didn't even know he played.
Vinny D.
It's family. So it's still
no one
back.
Got that one, though.
No one got that one, but still back to me.
Back to you.
Let's do, I forgot the other categories again. Let's do pop culture for four.
Who is the author of The Time Machine and The Invisible Man that published what is widely regarded as the first miniature war game rulebook? Called Little Wars in 1913.
Oh my god, how am I not remember his name?
Dude, I have no fucking clue. Published.
I mean, those are very well known sci-fi novels, and I can't believe his name is escaping me.
I know of like two sci-fi authors, but it is not worth it to just guess one of them.
It's going to piss me off. I can't think of it.
Can I just say it right now without any risk of losing points?
No. Just say it.
Is it? No, I'm not going to risk it. No, what? I'm going to do it without any risk if I'm allowed to. I'm not going to get any points, though, if I get it right. Is it Isaac Asimov?
No.
Okay.
H.G. Wells?
It is.
Fuck me!
H.G. Wells.
Fuck me!
Shit. I was picturing the covers of the books, and I was like, I can't. It's blurry. That part of the book is blurry.
I always forget he did Time Machine Invisible Man because my mind instantly goes to War of the Worlds.
Yeah, that's where I was second guessing and where I had that name in my head. And I was like, no, that's War of the Worlds. I don't know if that's the same guy. But okay, let's do miniature tools for what's our next up? Four?
Five.
Five. Let's do tools for five.
Tools. What are the three parts of an acrylic paint?
John.
Oh.
Okay. Pigment, binder, and water?
Yeah. I have a different word instead of water.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is he done?
Flow, liquid.
Is he done?
Okay. I mean, that was my answer. It's a matter of a judge's determination if water counts.
Pigment, binder, and medium.
I don't have that either. I have
binder is the medium.
I have vehicle.
Vehicle?
The fuck. Binder is not the medium. The medium is like oil or water, as in water-based acrylic or oil-based paints. The binder keeps the water and the pigment together, and the pigment gives you the color. So those are the three things in a paint.
Yeah, I have pigment, binder, and vehicle.
I said we both got it wrong then. Somebody else knows it better than us.
I got to imagine vehicle means medium, like water, like you said water.
I've never heard that though.
Do we both lose how many points?
500.
Jesus, I'm in the dumpster right now, bro.
Well, maybe that's why that was a little bit harder question.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, let's go to the visual ones. Let's go to miniature painters for 300.
300.
All right. This self-employed German artist is the founder of...
John.
Who is Roman Lapat?
Correct.
Hey, it's about who's quicker on the draw.
No?
Than it is.
What are you talking about?
Because we said German, and I'm waiting to determine whether it's Roman Lapat
or somebody else.
Or Ben Cantor. Or no, excuse me, Ben Comets.
Yeah, I heard founder, and I was like, okay, Massive Voodoo. And I was like, time to clock in. Yeah.
All right, what was the full question?
It was founder of Massive Voodoo and is well known for his miniatures like The Last Light seen here.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, we would not have needed to see a picture for that.
But we'll show it on the screen right now anyway.
Yes, 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 yes.
All right, how many points is that?
That was 300.
Very nice. Very nice.
Can we get those that are watching on screen know the points breakdown, but those listening as well as me don't know. What is our current point breakdown, Scott?
Oh, I'm not going to do that math right now. We're going to know at the end of the game.
You don't calculate it on the fly?
Do you want me to? I could. I'll do that real quick.
Quick math.
I'm at minus 600. You are at 1,400. So there is a 2,000 point deficit right now.
Someone's got to dig deep in them 1,000 point questions here.
I'm trying, bro. I'm trying. You're too fast.
All right. What's the next pop culture one available? Five?
Correct, yeah.
Let's do pop culture for five.
All right. Robert De Niro, Sean Bean, John Reno, and Natasha McClone star in this 1998 action thriller where Michael Lonsdale paints historical miniatures and recounts the story of 47 masterless samurai.
I feel like Sean Bean should be giving it away right now. 1998 and Sean Bean should be like giving me everything I need. Are we allowed to ask for a repeat in the question, or is that not allowed in Jeopardy?
No, because you only have 5 seconds from when the question's finished. So,
all right, well, that's GG for us then. What's the answer to that question?
Last Ronin?
Ronin.
Ronin. Oh,
Ronin.
Like,
no way.
It's so dumb. I should have known that. De Niro's in. I couldn't remember if it was Ronin or Last Ronin, and I couldn't. I bitched out. Okay, let's keep going then. Let's do pop culture for six.
Pop culture for six.
Right. In 1978, the UK televised a series of miniature war games hosted by Edward Woodward. What was the name of the show that was derived from the area where a war was fought?
The name of the show was derived from an area where the war was fought. England. The show.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I pass. Yeah, my guess is...
I pass as well.
My guess is Beaches of Normandy.
Battleground.
Dude, I want to do a... Can we do a spoof what remake of that show, Scott?
That was 600, dude. We're fucked.
We're fucked. Welcome to Battleground. Oh, my gosh.
Dude, what's it like to pick a question? I don't know.
And fucking Monopoly. All right, what's our next up on lore? What's our next number?
I feel like there's a fifth category we were neglecting right now.
Is there a fifth category?
Is there one that we're kind of skipping over?
Miniature makers, we haven't done a lot, and GW lore, we haven't done a lot.
Let's do the next GW lore. Which is...
All right, that would be for 200, because John decided to skip around.
Yeah.
You slut.
All right, vampires were created by this hero of
Scott. Who is Nagash?
Incorrect.
Now you can finish the whole question before I get a chance. I get a free... Right.
Vampires were created by this hero of the Soulblight Gravelords when she attempted to recreate the experiments of Nagash and has since been nicknamed the Mortarch of Blood.
John, who is Neferata?
Correct.
So who created Neferata? And also who created vampires in Warhammer lore?
You need to listen to the whole question, Scott.
Nagash.
You need to listen to the whole question.
I don't understand the question. Did Neferata make vampires in Age of Sigmar lore?
It says in the Soulblight Gravelord. So it's referring to the lore that's in the Soulblight Gravelord book, which is where the rest of the question came from.
Okay.
So, dude, this is Warhammer lore. They remake it all the time. Nothing is sacred.
Nothing.
Except for my 200 points right there.
Boom! I don't mind going to negative 800. Fuck it.
This turned into a bloodbath, ladies and gentlemen.
See, here's the thing. I was like, he's guessing early and getting lucky. Okay, I'll employ the same strategy. This is 200 points. Easy. The question's about fucking Nagash because he made fucking vampires. Fuck this game. I hate all my patrons. I'm just kidding. He made vampires, okay? All right, what's the next category?
I was waiting.
You were waiting for fucking shit,
I was waiting
shit,
whether
bro.
It was going to be fantasy or 40K.
There are no vampires in 40K. I mean, there are, like, blood angels, but they're not, like, canonically vampires.
I mean, I don't know the lore. Maybe there are.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Let's do lore for 300.
I'm so angry right now.
Let's keep Scott on tilt.
Yeah, dude, I am tilted right now.
I was really hoping you were going to get that because you just painted Neferata.
What can you do?
Dude, the internet is going to just destroy you that you got the lore question about Neferata. I mean, I did and I didn't.
Yeah, you
the part of the question that I heard and answered was accurate.
If the question stopped where you buzzed in, you were correct, but that wasn't the full question.
Rip.
All right, lore for 300.
Lore for 300.
Who is the youngest Chaos God?
Scott. Who is Slaanesh?
Correct.
Okay. Damn. Good.
That was 300?
300.
Yep. Good boy.
The only reason I know that is because he or she or it was created by the elves later on in history because of how just like nasty they were being.
Nice. All right, let's go back to the visual. Oh, shit, you got it right.
Oh, yeah. No, let's go back there. Let's do the next, the highest value.
Highest thousand?
The highest next value for painters.
Yeah, that'd be for 400.
400 for painters, please.
This piece, titled Self-Portrait of the Artist, is from 2018 and painted by one of the most prolific American artists, but she has yet to win gold in Golden Demon. All right, we have A... Marieke Reimer.
Yeah.
B. Peppa Salvarda.
Saavedra.
C. Liliana Tori. And D. Jessica Rich.
Yeah. I still don't know based on that model.
Yeah, honestly, the two names that I had remembered.
I had Elizabeth Beckley, Marieke Reimer.
I was thinking it was Jen Haley or Marieke Reimer, one of the two. But I don't know. I will not guess.
Pass. I don't know.
Pass.
It is D, Jessica Rich.
Jessica Rich. Okay. See, if we had showed her crystal brush piece, maybe I would have got that. But yeah. I've never seen this one before.
Me neither.
All right, cool. Let's do the next miniature makers one. So manufacturers.
All right, that is for 300.
All right.
In the year 2000, this company, known for their games, war machine, and hordes.
Oh, fucking A.
Who is Privateer Press?
Correct.
Another 300 for the dashing lad in the red sequins jacket. Do you say, how do you past tense sequined? Is it sequined?
A sequin?
Is that a verb?
Sequin? I don't know if you, I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
These are the questions. Well, can you finish the question for the listeners?
Oh, just when those games started.
Oh, okay.
Or, when they came into existence.
Okay. Who made the games? Yeah.
Who made the games?
Let's do, what's the next pop culture? Six?
Seven.
Seven. Let's do pop culture for seven.
I can break even if I get this one right, but I'm so shit at pop culture.
In 1881.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This author of books such as Treasure Island.
Tom Sawyer. John. Oh, fuck.
Is your name Tom Sawyer or John?
I'm so excited about what to say. Who's Mark Twain?
Incorrect. All right. In 1981, this author of books such as Treasure Planet and The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde
1881.
Is credited with being the first person to use toy soldiers in a war game.
God damn it.
I have no idea. I don't read books. I pass.
It is Robert Louis Stevenson.
Yeah, never in a million fucking years would have got that. I would have just stolen your answer, your original answer.
Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer, yeah.
Okay, so that was weird because I heard 1881 and then I heard him say Tom Sawyer. Both of those things I made up in my own head to get the answer. And in that question, of the version of the question, Mark Twain is the correct answer.
Was that minus 700 points?
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, in the beginning of the question, I asked the author. And Tom Sawyer's not an author.
I heard you say, yeah. Well, in my defense, I buzzed in with the words Tom Sawyer. I was like finishing your sentence because I thought it was Mark Twain that did that, and I'm obviously wrong.
It sounded like you said Treasure Island first.
Yes, yeah, so I heard too.
Not Treasure Planet.
Which Treasure Island
Treasure
is...
Treasure Planet is based on Treasure Island. It's just a sci-fi adaptation. It's the same story. Which, it's just a Disney movie.
Fair enough.
Mark Twain didn't do Treasure Island either, so I don't know what the fuck
I'm doing. All right, what's the next category?
Let's do the next miniature makers on the list.
That would be for 400.
400 miniature makers. Okay.
In 2008, this former managing director of Games Workshop, Ronnie Retton, released a range of high fantasy miniatures compatible with multiple games, including Warhammer Fantasy Battles under his company name. Sorry, under this company name.
So a prior CEO of GW making...
What was the year again?
Model Agnostic Minis.
In 2008.
Oh, it's like a British company. It must be. I don't know. I feel too afraid to risk anything right now.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that at all.
It is Mantic Games.
Oh,
Mantic.
Fucking A, dude.
Mantic.
I didn't know Mantic was miniature agnostic because they got their own games now.
They do have their own games now, but yeah, it probably started out agnostic. Shoot. Okay, I should have known that.
I mean, that was already like, what, 15 years ago now?
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's do the next miniature painters, which is at 500.
Yep, that is at 500. This Russian painter seems to prefer busts, including this one called Demeter, first posted in 2018.
Scott, I gotta take a risk here. Who is Kirill Kanayev?
Correct.
I was thinking of a couple other.
Could have been a couple. How many points is that one?
500.
Oh, I'm at zero.
I dropped a bit, though, too. What am I at right
You're
now?
You're at 1,200. You're fine.
I don't know. They add up quick, though, no?
I suppose they do. You're right. It gets swingier and swingier.
It's going to be who's gonna know the obscure one when the big money's on the line.
Yeah, who takes the wrong risk and fucks
up. Ah, fuck.
All right, so the next one I will pick is, what's the lowest point total on the board, Mr. Alex?
Miniature makers for 500.
Let's do it.
This company is responsible for a card-based war game released their first miniature in 2005, a full 4 years before their first game.
Card-based war game.
I was zoning out during that question. Card-based war
game. So this company is responsible for a card-based war game. They released their first miniature in 2005. And that is a full 4 years before their first actual game that they released.
Okay, so before the actual war game came out, it was a prior... Okay, do you know this?
The card thing is fucking with me.
Yeah.
I think we've
what
passed
is it?
It.
What did we pass?
Weird miniatures. Or word?
Weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Weird.
I guess I don't know enough about...
what is weird.
What's the fucking name? Their primary
Malifaux.
Malifaux. I don't know enough about Malifaux.
Kind of makes sense considering how they get RNG into the game with cards. Interesting. I didn't know that. We're learning things. Wonderful. All right. I will do the next one in the tools category.
All right. That is for 600.
Okay. Okay.
What is the primary difference between airbrush thinner and flow improver?
Oh God! What's the primary difference? Airbrush. Do people even really know fully what is in both of these things?
Because the recipes are different for every different company.
Yeah,
or the percentages are different. Maybe.
I want to give like a wishy-washy answer, but like that isn't gonna cut it. I don't think in this game.
Yeah,
it's very specific. I'll give you that right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass, but I will say that
I'm gonna pass as well. But I would say alcohol.
Okay. Like, yeah. Because there is flow improver in airbrush thinner, but it's also other things. But yeah, isopropyl is definitely one of them.
You guys are definitely on the right path. While they are both thin paints, flow is it improver?
Flow improver, yeah.
Flow improver has a retardant allowing longer drying time.
There's definitely retardants in airbrush thinner. That is like the main function, so you avoid dry tip.
Yeah. Duh. So that's a tough question.
Tough question, yeah, yeah.
But it's not your fault, Alex.
It's not your fault. It's James' it's fault.
So don't shoot the messenger.
It's someone's fault and it's not ours.
I don't. That feels like a patron one, not a James one to me.
If I'm
going with my gut. Goddamn patrons. If you want to submit shitty questions, you could join our Patreon.
We're just having a laugh.
We love it.
All right, current score, 1,200 to zero. Let's keep this going. Let's do the next tools question, because I really want to get one of these.
All right, for 700. Up until the mid-2000s, this device was widely thought to have been invented in 1893, but has been recredited to Francis Edgar Stanley and his patent from 1876.
John, are you going to risk it right now?
Yeah, I'm going to risk it.
What are you going to say? Are you going to say what I think you're going to say?
What is an airbrush?
Is that right?
Correct.
You son of a bitch.
I could have. You know what? I was on that 5 words into that sentence, but I was just being a bitch. I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
I can't do it.
And then they say a patent. When you say patent, I'm like, it's got to be.
Yeah, you ain't fucking patenting miniature holder. Yeah, you know? So that was a good risk. That was a good risk.
Yeah. The correct answer is the little palette thing you put on your thumb. let's go back to the pictures. I'll take pictures for, is it six now?
Yeah, 600. This piece called Guardian highlights this Spanish painter's mastery of light and weathering.
John, who is Sergio Calvo?
Correct.
Can I get a what the fuck? First of all, did you know he had a piece named Guardian?
Yeah, I know which one it is.
Okay, okay.
Actually, I didn't know right there, but I'm pretty sure it's the one that he won the crystal brush with the big purple tiger. And nope, that's not it. weathering wouldn't make sense on that one anyway, so.
I mean, you got it. How many points is that? 600, 700?
That was 600.
Oh, God, I'm getting crushed.
Let's go back to Poppy C. Let's do pop culture.
Poppy C.
For whichever's next up on the, is it 700, 800?
I think it's 800.
800 for Poppy C. Let's do this.
All right. This actor, most active in the 60s and 70s, is known for playing parts such as Sherlock Holmes, Van Helsing, Baron Frankenstein, Doctor Who, Grand Moff Tarkin in Star Wars.
Oh god, I know he is. I don't know.
But he was also a member of the Model Soldier Society.
Yeah, yeah. He's like the nastiest evil character.
Grand Moff Tarkin. Oh yeah. God, his name.
He's a super cool actor. I don't know his name though. But yeah, I do know he is a miniature painter. I remember that. Pass, yeah.
I did not know this. Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Peter Cushing.
I knew it. Someone would be like, I'm going to know the name and be pissed at
him.
Yeah. That was my chance to really just fucking rip this thing wide open. I couldn't pull a Peter Cushing out of my ass. Let's do the next tools. Oh, wait, no. There's one we haven't done more of. Let's do miniature makers for the next highest. Miniature makers.
Yeah, we're only halfway through that one, so.
Okay.
Right. Miniature makers for 600. In 2008, this publishing company, known for RPGs like RuneQuest, Conan the Barbarian, and Judge Dredd, ceased production of their miniature line, which included a Judge Dredd and Starship Troopers miniature game.
I'm trying to decide if I just lean into the losing now and just risk it all.
I think I know, but I'm not very confident.
I'm not confident either.
I need an answer or
pass.
I'm gonna pass. I'm gonna guess Mattel.
I'm gonna guess Dark Horse Miniatures.
Remember, I said a publishing company.
Yeah, Dark
Horse. Is Mattel not a publishing company? I have no idea.
We were looking for Mongoose Publishing.
Never in a million fucking years have gotten that.
Okay, glad I didn't buzz in on that one.
I have never heard of that company.
All right, we're going to flip the other way now. Which one has got the fewest ones left?
So we can knock
one out, then, you know.
You're going for the 1,000? Go for Pop Culture 1,000?
That would be Pop Culture. We have 900 and 1,000 left.
Let's do 900 Pop.
Oh, God.
Poppy C, let's get this.
In this 1975 CIA thriller, Robert Redford plays a bookish CIA agent, and Max von Sydow paints Napoleonic cavalrymen.
1975 thrillers before my time, my dude.
Yeah, I haven't gone back to watch that one yet.
I haven't caught that one. I'm a pass.
I'm a pass.
3 days of the Condor.
Never heard of it.
Still never.
Three days of the Condor?
Yeah.
Oh. I think I've heard of a movie with the word Condor in the title, but that wasn't it.
It's almost Flight of the Conchords.
It's really similar. Really similar.
It's close. Let's finish out Poppy C for 1,000.
I feel like with the thousands, you like have to give an answer.
Yeah. No. I built this kingdom. I'm not letting it fall to ruin.
This 2017 series starring Anna Taylor-Joy is set in 17th century Amsterdam, where a woman hires a mysterious man to furnish a dollhouse she received from her husband, but the miniatures eerily foretell her fate.
Oh. When did this come out?
2017.
It says series, too, so that's
a
movie.
Not a movie. Yeah, I'm not gonna know a series.
Pass. I know.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this. I wonder if it's like a
Netflix,
like a BBC, like mini series that they do.
Yeah,
The Miniaturist.
Okay.
Damn.
I was waiting for it to be Hereditary. I was like, about the scale model she does in Hereditary.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm gonna fucking take. Yeah, you're 1,000 points.
Good thing you didn't jump on it.
yeah, that's true. I totally went wrong.
All right, pop culture's done.
Pop culture's slain.
All right, we've slain it. Which one has the least remaining now?
That would be Tools.
Tools, let's knock out, is it 8?
Yep, Tools for 800. Propantool is a colorless, flammable, organic compound with a pungent odor. We would know it better,
John,
as this cleaner.
Isopropanol alcohol?
Correct.
Yeah.
We looked into it to give ourselves the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my bad.
No, it's not your
reason. What is this word with dash, like, this a rapper's name? Like,
also, this question for 800, like, come on.
Because it has propane in there. And if you know isopropanol, then.
Two dashes and a number.
Yeah, it's like, it must be like the
is a dumb thing.
We're talking about science and chemistry.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, that's like the chemical name.
Oh, it was just written out.
Okay. I get it.
That'd be like saying H2O.
Yeah, you need like the super scripts for it, the little two down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get what was happening there. Okay.
Either way, I got it right.
Yeah.
Fuck.
All right. Let's try to finish up this category. So let's do 900 for tools.
Yep. 900 for tools. If this item is no longer putting itself back together, try to soak it in cool water for 30 minutes to help it hydrate.
Coming back together? Putting back together. Putting back together.
I need an answer.
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
It's our time.
Self-healing cutting mat.
I did not know you could
soak
it. Wow! I didn't know you could soak it in water.
Ah, so that's how it self-heals, with the power of water.
Well, for 30 minutes, apparently.
I've always... The cutaway just kind of seals itself. It doesn't need water at all.
Listen, this trivia is taught us something.
Maybe if it's like big gashes, the cold water would make that thing happen faster.
I don't know.
Interesting.
All right, let's finish up tools for 1,000.
1,000.
This specific tool brand has been thought to have been used in the 2014 murder of Jin Lin, who was stabbed and dismembered in Montreal, Canada.
What? First of all, what? That's crazy!
Wow, who knew those little X-Acto knives could dismember?
Yeah.
Tool brand. I'm not taking a shot in the dark on 1,000.
No, neither am I.
Let's take a little guess though.
Army painter.
Shit, that's what I was gonna say. X-Acto.
I mean, yeah, you said it earlier.
Well, that's like it's like Xerox. X-Acto is a...
I know, but that's just the answer. It's X-Acto.
Yeah.
Fuck me! Fuck me! God, think how many points I would have.
You literally said, like, man, I can't believe X-Acto knives would do that.
Oh, I just said it!
Yeah, you said it. I just kind of looked at you like, are you kidding me right now?
Oh, shit. Okay, so can we do a recap of points as we've gotten 40% of our categories done?
You have 3,300 points. I have zero.
Jesus God. But there's a bunch of big numbers up here. You gotta get hot.
The rest are literally 700 to 1,000.
I feel like I gotta start taking some risks here.
Yeah, dude. You're not gonna win. Just like we talked about in game theory earlier. Okay, let's do the miniature painter one for 7.
This piece is from the man with the most slayer swords.
Scott. Ben, who is Ben Comets?
I really wish you would have let me finish the question.
I mean, that is the truth. He has the most Slayer swords. I didn't need to hear anything else to know that I should be right.
He's so mad. He's not right.
So that's fine.
I'm gonna finish the question.
I think I know what the other answer might be.
This piece is from the man with the most Slayer swords, according to DemonWinner.free.
I still don't think I should be wrong.
At 5, this piece is the winner of the Slayer's is the winner of the Slayer sword from Golden Demon Baltimore, and it is either A, Will Kyle, B, Ben Comets, C, Todd Swanson, or D, Greg Smalling.
I know what it is.
You see the picture? I see the picture. I'm not going to probably know, because you're saying that Scott was wrong then, right?
It's not what I have on mine.
Okay. I know what it is based on the... But I can't guess again, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, that's not Ben Comets. I mean, I don't know this piece.
I actually don't know it based on the piece, but based on the names, I know who it should be. At least I think I know who it should be, but...
I'm not going to risk it. So I'm going to pass, but my gut saying is Todd.
It's Todd Swanson, Todd, right? Swanson.
It is Todd.
Shit.
I've never heard Todd's name in the running for having the most Slayer swords.
When they had so many of them in the U.S. and some of those guys, I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
It says here he has 5, so.
I think Ben has like 6 or 7, so.
Oh.
I don't, but it was according to some thing.
Yeah, there's a website here.
Yeah, GoldenDemonWinner.fr. Yeah, it's a French unofficial site.
So that was worth how much? 700?
700? Fuck. Okay.
I would have jumped in and been too if you didn't beat me to it.
What can you do? What can you do?
Let's do the same category for 8. Let's do miniature painters for 8.
All right. This piece is from a famous Berlin native who is known for their many box arts, but also their DVD series.
John. Berlin native, that would be painting Buddha and box arts. So who is Ben Comets?
Correct.
You're just one question behind. Mm-hmm. That seemed, I was nervous because that's for 800, and I was nervous that Ben Comets is too easy.
Maybe. Yeah, the DVD series kind of threw me off a little bit, and I was like trying to remember if Painting Buddha did ever put out physical DVDs.
I tried to track them down. I tried to track them down because that's a collectible thing I want to own.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. Yeah,
for sure. Maybe Goody Peepees have some. Okay, let's jump over then to Miniature Makers for whatever's next.
Miniature Makers for 700. This company was established by three friends, Fernando Liest, Carlos Torres, and Pilar Rivio, in 2001 to create 15mm historical military miniatures.
I was going to guess Corvus Belli, but then I heard 15mm historical miniatures, and I was like,
I mean, maybe that's what they started with. I pass.
I pass too.
God damn it, Scott.
It was Corvus Belli, wasn't it?
It was.
I was waiting for Jose Palomares. I thought he was part of people who made it, and I didn't hear that name. But fuck. Oh, well. Oh, well.
Got to trust your gut sometimes, man.
Yeah, but I didn't know that Corvus Belli started out making 15 mil historical figures.
I mean, this was over 20 years ago, back in 2001.
I know.
A tiny place. Okay, so I will take the miniature makers. What's the next one? 8?
800, yeah.
800.
In 2013, in Brick Lane, London, this website team was formed, and in 2018, they opened their digital storefront so creators could sell their 3D prints.
Scott, who is My Miniature Factory?
Correct.
Oh, my God, I have 100 points.
Nice.
I was thinking Mr. Lee's Minis, but I was too old.
Yeah, a little too old, yeah. We'll do the next one for 900, I believe, in that category.
Yes, it is. This British Columbia-based miniature company.
John.
Ooh. I'm not sure I immediately know.
Who is Creature Caster?
Oh, correct. Of course. Yeah. That was 900, right?
That was 900. I'll finish the question. Woo! Quick.
That was good. That was really good.
This British Columbian-based miniature company specializes in hand-poured, high-quality resin miniatures for collecting, painting, and wargaming.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love your Canadian friends.
You do. It's important to remember them. Yeah, they're over in, is that Vancouver?
Mm-hmm. They're just outside.
Oh, okay.
Shit. Let's finish her off for 1,000.
I am sweating up a storm right now, dude.
For 1,000 points.
I go for it no matter what.
Get it. Get it in there.
Risk it all. BattleTech was originally launched by the FASA Corporation in 1984. Was then acquired by WizKids in 2001. WizKids was acquired by Topps in 2003. And since 2007... has been published by this company.
John. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the company.
What is Hasbro?
Incorrect.
I was willing to take a shot at that.
I'm trying to remember like the logo that I've seen on the box, and I can't remember what it is. I would be guessing a word that I don't even know if it's the name of a company. So I pass.
That is a lot of passing of the torch of this original company.
It is,
Catalyst Game Labs.
Yeah, Catalyst Game Labs, yeah. I could not remember that company.
I thought Hasbro enveloped them when they also enveloped Wizards of the Coast, because WizKids is kind of, anyway.
Wing of Hasbro?
That's probably happening next year.
Yeah. I'm okay with taking that shot at that point. All right, so we have 2 categories left. Let's hit up some lore. Let's do 600.
All right. I'm going to hate pronouncing this shit.
Try your best. Try your best.
I'm sure no one will make fun of you on the internet.
Esdrubial Vect.
Is that you got it. Yeah.
Esdrubial Vect is the Drakari Arkin of the Cobble of the Black Heart, and is so old that he claims to remember this important event.
I was hoping that the question was going to be, what is the name of Esdrubial Vect's cabal? And I was like, boom, I know it. Blackheart. But I have no idea what that is.
I'm going to pass. I'm going to say go ahead.
I feel like I should risk it.
Yeah. You have some? I have something I think it would say.
I am going to say it. Fuck it. My answer is the creation of Slaanesh.
That is incorrect.
Fuck.
Is it Battle for Cadia?
That is also incorrect.
Damn. Okay. Is it when Horus betrayed the Emperor?
No, it is the fall of the Adrari.
Oh, that's when. Okay. Wait. I say the full answer?
The fall of the Eldari? The fall
of okay, the- so I believe if we had actual judges on staff, maybe I'd get the answer right, because that is when they split. When some of them were like, okay, we can't be sexy anymore. And some were like, we want to be sexy and do drugs still. And then Slaanesh was created. But I said the wrong answer. I'll take the minus 600. Mm-hmm. That is all the same thing, I think. I don't know, though. The commenters can let us know.
Commenters will let us know if Scott was robbed out of 600 points.
Who knows? It doesn't matter.
Let's do lore for 700.
In life, this shrieking night haunt unit were sorcerers who worked against Nagash,
Supreme
Lord of the Undead.
This is you, bro. I did not play this faction. I don't know the names of these models.
John,
you're not so sad about it.
I'm gonna say I don't know if it's either if it's Banshees or if it's Mournfang Banshees, because those are the Mournfang Banshees, but it's Banshees.
It is Mermorn Banshees.
Yeah.
I think you got it.
Sure.
I know how to pronounce the first word. Do that.
Oh, is it? It's like M-Y-R, like yeah. Mirmon or something?
Mirmorn.
Mirmorn Banshees.
Mirmorn.
What was that? What was that for, Alex?
That was for 700.
Oof.
Okay, let's do lore for 800.
All right. Who was the first space marine to fall to chaos?
Scott.
I don't know if this is true, but is it Horus? It is. Wait, should I say it or do you want to?
Well, no, I mean,
am I wrong?
Yes.
Fuck.
First space marine to fall to chaos. You know, Horus did nothing wrong. So it was.
I mean, that's just that thing people say. I think I might know what it is.
I'm going to pass, but my
John,
guess.
You got points to spare, man. Come
my,
on.
My. Okay, what's the current points? Can I see the current points?
4,700 and negative 500.
I'm gonna. I am. God, I can't believe I'm answering fucking lore questions. John. Abaddon.
That is incorrect. It is Lorgar.
Okay, that's another one of the chapter masters.
Give us both the negative 800 and let's move on. All right, so still on me. I'm gonna switch back over to pictures for 9.
Switching back over to pictures,
so we can end on the high point. That is a 1,000 point lore question.
All right, for 900, this warlock bombardier, is from an alt. Is that supposed to? Oh, okay. It's from an alternative American painter with many accolades, including friend of the show.
John.
Yeah, okay. Come on.
I almost.
How is this 1,000 points, bro?
It's 900.
Whatever.
I almost buzzed in at Warlock Bombardier, because when I think of old metal Warlock Bombardiers, only thing I can think of is Vincey V, a.k.a. Vince Venturella, a.k.a. Vincent the Big Dog. 900 points for John.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, see, I thought it was going
to... God, I was like, what?
I heard alternate American painter, and the first thing I thought was Sam Lenz.
He's alt.
I mean, is Vince alt? Does that describe him?
Maybe it was ultimate. Maybe
no, it
James,
was alternate.
You know, James
alternative.
Alternative.
I'll say Vince is a connoisseur of alternative music from the 90s, so maybe that's what
that's where it's coming from. Okay.
Give me my 900.
I already gave it to you. So.
Vincey V for
900
point question. Okay, let's
ask. Oh, that was 900?
That was 900.
Oh, okay.
That's not 1,000. Don't worry, Sam's going to be 1,000. All right. Let's finish this category up for miniature painters for 900 or 1,000.
All right. 1,000. This miniature comes from this YouTuber's first ever video on Baroque era painting.
I have a
guess as well.
As well. Right. John,
I am.
You haven't seen it yet.
Are you going for it?
I'm going for it.
Sending
I haven't seen
it.
Can we say it at the same time? Oh wait, what the fuck? Okay, I've never seen that model in my life.
My guess. I buzzed in.
You're gonna guess the one I think.
Not just Mika, aka Marco Frizzoni.
Is it Marco Frizzoni? That's all I would have guessed.
Incorrect.
Damn.
Oh shit.
That was worth a shot before.
That was worth a shot.
Oh, what the fuck is this?
Baroque era. Give me that 5 seconds.
Let me do the multiple choice for you guys.
Oh yes, please
<Fuck
do.
me>.
Please.
All right. Is it A?
Zumikiko
miniatures.
Zumikito.
B 52 miniatures. C Lila Mev the mini witch, or D Midwinter minis.
Okay, it's not Midwinter Minis.
Okay, I can see a couple of those. I think I know what the answer is, though.
I'm guessing one of two. Fuck it. My guess is, who is Zumikito?
Incorrect.
It's Lila Mev.
It is.
That's Lila Mev?
Fuck me. All right.
Not that it matters.
Alex, we're going to finish this thing off
strong.
At the worst possible place, which is two questions about lore, the hardest questions. So let's do... Let's do lore, Warhammer lore for 900.
All right. What caused the Eye of Terror?
Oh, fuck. The Eye of Terror.
Eye of Terror. The warp itself to tear open to allow interdimensional travel. Not interdimensional.
You can travel within the dimension.
You could travel large distances because of this.
A pass. I got nothing.
Wow. What is it? The reason why the Eye of Terror opened?
Somebody looked at the Emperor's butthole.
Yeah, dude. That's probably what it was.
That's the real Eye of Terror right there.
The thing is like, I could just guess a random thing, but I am like wrong 99% of the time. So what's the point? I don't know. I pass. I'm curious, though.
It is the birth of Slaanesh.
What? So many Slaanesh questions. Somebody's got a hard on for Slaanesh in the Patreon group, and they're just submitting all the Slaanesh questions.
Did you know? I did not know that.
Okay, let's finish this thing up. 1,000 points for Warhammer lore.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Draknin, the sword of this Chaos Lord, is said to have been made of the daemon created by mankind's first ever murderer.
It's that monkey from 2001 Space Odyssey.
you should jump in for you said Chaos Lord. I mean,
so the answer is the name of the Chaos Lord.
Yes,
who possesses this sword and is said to have killed the first human being.
The sword was forged by the demon that was the first murderer of man.
So Draknin.
Can we spell the name?
Oh, sure. That's going to make a difference.
Drach apostrophe Nyen.
Yeah. Okay.
The sword of this Chaos Lord.
Okay.
So that's the sword.
Okay.
It's said to have been made by the... It's a demon with an A in front of it, like, so daemon.
That's just how they spell it in GW.
Created by mankind's first ever murderer.
I have no fucking clue.
I don't know if he's a Chaos Lord or not, so I'm just going to...
It's the last question, boys.
Yeah, John, he's got a big fucking sword, but I don't think that's the sword, but I'm going to guess Abaddon.
Yeah, Abaddon's a great guess.
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I fucking got the 1,000-point lore question.
You fucking did it, young man. You crushed. Wait. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen, everybody. If there's one thing I know, it's lore.
Yeah. I just remember that Abaddon's sword has like a bunch of spooky ghosts on it.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Makes sense.
Here's what I'll say. The lore was heavily on the 40K bullshit.
Well, I mean, that's where they have the most bullshit lore, so we might as well have the most bullshit questions about it.
There you go.
But I will John? Say, my worry was that I didn't think he was considered a Chaos Lord. I thought he had a higher rank than that, but that's my lack of lore knowledge that would...
Abaddon the Despoiler. He's like Horus recreated. He's the one that started the Crusades.
He's baby Horus.
Yeah, in the 41st millennia to get everyone. John, you fucking crushed me. We went into this thing that I was going to crush John. Yeah,
I was worried
the opposite happened.
I was really worried that I was just going to get stomped and I'd end up with like negative points. But instead,
literally the opposite happened.
What's their final point total?
The final point total is 4,800 to negative 1,500. GG.
Wow. Dude, you about ready to get fatality'd up in here?
I mean, I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm ready. It already happened.
That was fun.
That was super fun. I love that. I've always wanted to participate, like be a person who does the trivia in one of these kinds of things. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, Alex, for reading the questions. Thank you to our patrons and also for James for organizing all the questions and so much. Thank you for John for playing with me.
Yeah, this was fun. Yeah, Alex has made it such a big difference that you were here and helped us out with this. This was pretty awesome. If you're listening or watching, if this kind of a thing, the trivia or anything like that, is something you'd like to see maybe a couple times a year, just on an annual basis, or nah, it's not that cool, please let us know your honest opinions on that. We had fun. We hope you did too. Maybe it's a one-time thing, or maybe it's something or a iteration of something fun like this that we could integrate in the podcast. Please let us know.
That'd be super cool. Yeah, I would love to do it again, for sure.
On to the news. GW sunsets more Space Marines, including the Scouts, Squatty Bikes, Assault Squad, and Ironclad Dreadnought. You know how, like, on Google Phones, you have an iPhone, don't you? Well, anyways, if you swipe to the left from your main page, you get, like, news articles. And I accidentally swipe to the left every now and then. I don't, like, really necessarily look for it. But the top article I saw yesterday was GW... is like getting rid of Space Marines. And the implication of the article and what I heard from other hobbyists is that they are starting to get rid of squatty boys, non-primaris Space Marines.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about this, John? Are you torn up?
I will say that my local community, there's a couple of real upset people. Now, completely unrelated, they have like full 2,000-point lists that run almost full squatty boy bikes. I wonder why they're upset.
I get it, bro. I get it.
I get it. I totally get it. But like all things, the Primaris ones look cooler. So what are they going to do? Not make cooler ones, new ones? Now, you could have, you say like, well, why don't they just make them both have rules and that kind of stuff? It's like, no, you have to always be editing.
You got
to
be calling. You know?
Your game, any game, whether it's a video game, whether it's a war game, whether it's an RPG, tabletop, all of those, if you just consistently add and add and add and add, sooner or later your Jenga tower falls.
Yeah. It's good for the game. You know, it's good to clean things up. It's like a plant. You got to prune it every now and then, right?
That said, I feel for people.
I do. Yeah, I feel for people. Like, my Wood Elves are unplayable. Many of the units you cannot play in Age of Sigmar anymore. And that fucking sucks. So I totally get it. But the rule set is still there. You can play 7th edition 40K, 8th edition, 9th edition, all with your dudes. And your friends, they have the models. They have the rules. They've played the games. Like, you can play that version of the game whenever you want, if it was fun for you. Like, just do that. I play Guild Ball. It's a fucking dead game. It's still fun, you know?
Also, you have squatty dudes on bikes, and now there's just Primaris dudes on bikes. Just use your squatty dudes on bikes as Primaris dudes on bikes.
Boom.
Like, it's
roasted.
Yeah. boom, roasted. So just, yeah, and no one's gonna, there is not probably a person on this planet that would balk at that.
Yeah.
You know? So I know, it stinks.
It does stink. All right, BattleTech releases a pay what you want color book and a bunch of mech plushies. Is this how you get into Target? Is this the strategy?
Yeah. How do we? Yeah, we need
color book.
We need plushies and color books.
Okay.
Top color book.
Top color book.
What we'll do is we just like show up to a Target and mash them into the fucking shelves.
Just like leave them in.
They try to check out and like boop. This barcode doesn't exist.
This is how I do distribution. Not just plant product.
I just fucking drive to Target
with like a bag of shit. Just littering it in the store. Yeah, that's great.
Oh man.
What is this? 10th edition Errata is out. 1.2. Revising Eldari. I've heard Eldar are a little ridiculous. I've heard Dark Eldar are not great. And also Space Marines. Free to DL. Okay, nice, nice.
Okay. GW. Okay, so here's an interesting one. GW releases their financial endings on May 2023, which they must do as a publicly traded company. So it's not like they're being nice people by letting everybody know how much money they make. And Spiky Bits did a year-over-year comparison in an article titled Games Workshop Profits Soar as Hobbyists and Stores Struggle to Find Product. And the bottom line is things are very good for GW. Coming off of this, I've seen a lot of tweets and stuff about breakdown of the CEO making $1.5 million last year. And the breakdown of the percentages of their employees that make $35,000 a year or less.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was a ridiculous amount. It was like 70% of their employees make $35,000 a year or
less.
This
is in British pounds?
I saw dollar signs, so I didn't see that weird little backwards two or whatever the fuck that is. But either way, I mean, even no matter which it is, it's still a massive... Now, this is not unique to them. This is how these companies work, right? And you look at the average Amazon employee or the average Google employee and that kind of stuff. People working at the fucking Apple store. I mean, there's a big disparity there. So we shouldn't be like, oh, they should be, drawn and quartered. But
I think if the whole sculpting and illustrating and painting crew just decided to be like, fuck you guys, pay us more, we're not going to show up to work,
strike.
They'd be fucked, like they would have nothing they could do.
They just have to unionize.
Yeah, you British people, you just gotta get a little rebellion in your blood, okay? Just a little red, white, and blue,
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. All those people that did that, they're fucking over here now. Having the same problems, bro.
Got him.
What else we got here? We mentioned in the past Battlescribe was fucking about, but apparently it's coming back for 10th edition.
So apparently they got all their people in order. They beat them into submission, and they are paying them $5,000 a year. No, I don't know. But they're back for 10th edition, and we'll be posting rules for Legends and Horus Heresy soon.
Legends, baby.
Legends. Lastly, it's the summertime. You're into barbecue. Hero Forge released some new options for customizing your miniatures, including the backyard BBQ. So
nice.
If you're needing to role play as Daddy Grill Master, there's probably options for that.
I saw this thing about a summer party idea where it's called a dad party. So you have to dress up like as a dad.
Yeah, like it's like socks and sandals.
Yeah, socks and sandals.
Or New Balance shoes.
Yeah. Oh, there was a lot of New Balance shoes at this party.
I fucking bet, dude.
Yeah, and then like it was like jean shorts with a belt with the short sleeve polo tucked in.
Yeah.
And
I hate it.
It was fucking phenomenal. And like men, women, everybody at the party was dressed up like this. And then the party was like they showed like different scenes from the party, and they were just like the guy was out in the driveway, was like pushing like his push lawnmower, and the bunch of dads were around there, and he's talking about his lawnmower. Like that was the fucking party. They had like stations set up, like dad stations for things for them to do.
Gosh. For things then yeah, I love
so
that.
So the next level of that is to make a fucking RPG game where it's dad's the RPG game, and now you have all the miniatures you can print.
Perfect.
Make the game.
That'd be perfect. I want some crisp New Balance shoes in 32 millimeter scale.
Gotta have that in.
Welcome to the after party. John is blinded as he takes off his sunglasses for the very first time.
It's not the after party, it's the end of the episode.
Fuck! Welcome to the end of the episode.
So, yeah, I'm just blinded by my own success in fucking trivia.
Quick shout out to all you amazing viewers who have come back episode after episode, given us feedback when we've asked for it, supported the podcast on Patreon and by buying merch, and just like being here and like being here for 100 episodes, you know, like I'm thankful that Alex let us know that it was the 100th episode approaching.
Yeah, coming up.
Because otherwise we totally forgot. But this is super fun just to do something like this.
And it's a big accomplishment, you know, yeah. And it's something like
100 episodes.
That's a lot. I mean, most podcasts, you know, they shrivel on the vine after a dozen or so. It's just a lot of work and it's commitment. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
One, we felt really like a community that we made our own, the oddball community within the miniature painting community, which is the goody peepees.
We like fart jokes. Is what
yeah,
it is.
Right. and Mountain Dew. And so we're glad that we found you, and we're glad that we're all here together. And here's to the next 100 episodes.
Absolutely. Feels strange to remind you about how you can support the podcast. I'm sure you guys already know how to do that. So let's just roll it out.